So your assessment of the series, first of all, 1-1.
Well, you know, I think when you look at the way these teams are playing, and it's so hard to score goals now, that the goaltending has been superb. You know, going back in 2010 when the Hawks played the Flyers, there was a lot more pucks going in the net, and I find it's
that happens with Philly. You know that.
Well, it's tough to score goals now.
It is. You know, two guys that are having trouble scoring goals are Taves and Kane. First of all, what do you see out of their game that is holding them back from obviously the floodgates opening up?
Well, Jonathan's been right since the start. He's been playing against the top. You know, every series, it started with Minnesota, Koivu and Parise. They kind of drew a blank in that series. And they, you know, when you look at it, he went against the Red Wings, and it was either Dotsuk or Zetterberg. Now, and also, I think with the top defenseman, you're usually playing one and two. Now he's going to have Chara all the time.
So, Scotty, when you coach, if you were coaching, how do you handle the Chara situation? I mean, as a coach, what do you do to get around that dominant defenseman?
Tough, Doug. I mean, I'm trying to think back. I don't compare anybody to Bobby Orr because nobody was like Bobby. And when I was with the Blues and we played the Bruins in 70 in that famous picture that you see, we didn't see it for about 20 years.
Right. Now you see it every day.
That's what Glenn Hall said to Bobby Orr once. Is that the only goal you ever scored? But no, we used to come into Boston, Doug, and you can't do it now, but we would never take the puck up the right, our left wing side, which Bobby played the right defense. Yeah. That's how good he was. But with Chara, I just find with his range and his long stick and his size, and he can be physical if he has to. I think what you got to do is you got to get some help from your defenseman. You really have to get help. I find the Krejci line with Seidenberg and Chara as a five-man unit.
Yeah.
Tough to beat.
Hey. No, but you have the option of splitting Kane and Taves up and try and get around it that way, or load up.
Well, I think what you'll see, I'm not predicting what they're going to do, but I'm sure you're going to see a little bit more on the road, changing on the fly, maybe trying to get a defensive line. And I think Kane and all through the playoffs, Joel has changed. Mm-hmm. He's put Taves with Kane. He's put Taves with Hossa. He tried it for two games. I wouldn't be the least surprised if he broke up that line and maybe put Kane back with Taves.
Hey, Scott, take us back to your days as a coach, and you had that dominant team in Montreal. Was there ever anything you can compare to what the Taves and the Canes are going through today in your day? Was there ever a time when a shot, a Lemaire, mm-hmm. the Flower, looked like things were just not right? And how did you handle that as a coach?
I'm sure there was times where your top players were shut down. I do remember a little bit about Chicago with Hull and Makita in some early playoff series. They were young players, and they did win in 61, but they could be shut down too. And I think it happens to these top players that they, you know, that you get that in the playoffs. I always thought your role players are probably your most important. I know when I was in Detroit, the Drapers and Maltbys were so important, and they scored a lot. Joey Koser, they scored big goals in the finals, and even in Montreal with the great teams we had, fellas like Riseborough and Tremblay, they're underrated players. And
I Sean Bickle have done a nice job.
That's right, and he's been moved up now. He's on one of the top two lanes.
Hanging out with Scotty Bowman on Hockey Central at noon as we look ahead to Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight in a 1-1 set. Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug MacLean.
Scotty, we finished the game the other night, and I look and I say, okay, regulation, Kane 15 minutes, Sharp 12:46 in three periods, not including overtime, and I see Boland and Shaw with 16 and a half minutes, and I'm thinking, okay, the one thing you can't have happen as a coach is lose ice time for your big guys. And I appreciate the work of Boland and Shaw and the Grinders and the Maltbys and the Drapers, but you can't do it with the problem of your big guys missing ice.
I think, Doug, what happens as a coach, and you have to be careful, at home, you get all the matchups.
Yeah.
So you're watching, you're delaying your matchup until the other team puts what they want on the ice. And you know, and I know as a coach, I used to try, when I was at home, I didn't care about the matchup as much as I would want to keep the other team. If I thought they had a good forechecking team, I would want to make them change on the fly so that the players didn't get in on the forecheck. They're running to the bench.
Right.
I think on the road, they won't be able to get the matchup that you can get on a whistle. I think it'll change around.
And it'll help
bit.
Chicago, maybe.
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Hey, Scott, we had a conversation coming into the building today on Lucic. And over the course of history, what kind of players we can compare him to. You know, the name Tocchet came up, maybe a Cam Neely. But, you know, is there anyone in your heyday that you can look back and say, that guy was able to change the momentum of a game or a series with a hit?
John Ferguson would come to my mind.
That's exactly who I said today.
That was the worst knuckle bump.
I'm not happy. I'm not happy that he's thinking with another great mind. That bothers me.
That makes me feel good as a guy that can't get a job. This makes me feel real good.
But Lucic is a much better skater than John was, and the fighting was a little bit more prevalent. But no, they're both physical. They got better hands than a lot of people give them credit for.
Yeah.
And Lucic just made himself into a real terror.
It's hard to believe. I looked up John Ferguson's stats when I was singing it this morning. 18 goals a season in only 8 seasons in the NHL, and 151 minutes in penalties every year, and a lot of playoff goals, Scotty.
Played with Beliveau a lot, too.
Scotty, what's your role with the team when you get to a Stanley Cup final now?
The coaches are they run their bench. I don't talk with the coaches. That's not my forte, I wouldn't want people telling me what to do, but I more or less just look. I'm a fan of the team, and I do more scouting now with the Hawks. If I go to the games in Tampa, if there's a player they're asking about, I'll give my recommendation. But that's about what.
Listen,
I do now.
You've been involved with hockey, outside of coaching, you're still very much involved. Is a Stanley Cup final like this a little extra special for you because it's an original six and you were behind the bench of the last one, I think, with the Rangers and Montreal, and just the extra the extra feel that you get out of this?
And his son is the general manager.
I try to think back to different series where, nowadays it's not the same effect, I don't think, Nick, when you lose a game at home, although it has changed in these playoffs, is that before, like the last in 79, we got beat the first game at home, and we were. I don't remember. People have asked me, for some reason, Bunny LaRocque was to play game two.
Were you making that change? You were taking Dryden out?
No, we made the change because we went through the warm up, and Doug Risebrough, I still thank him for making sure that Dryden came back in.
Because he hit Bunny LaRocque.
He's the one that hit him with a shot. But I don't know. I'm not sure. Bunny played a lot down the stretch at home, because I remember Dryden came to me once and mentioned the fact that he hadn't played a lot of home games that season. If you look up the record, I'm pretty sure you'll see. But it was a move that we all decided. I didn't do it myself. We talked about it, and I made the move, and Dryden went in and won 4-2.
I thought Risebrough hit you in the head and woke you up.
Were you mad at Risebrough at the time?
No, I just, you took it like it happened, and... But in that series, John Davidson and Ken were the two biggest goalies by a long shot. Most of the other goalies were average size.
You know, speaking of not playing a lot of home games, we're just outside the bowl watching Crawford go over the glass a little bit. Chicago hasn't been in here for, close to 2 seasons.
Has Crawford ever played in this building? Do you know?
Oh, I'm sure he didn't. No, yeah. He would not have played here. No.
Are you okay with that Boston and a team like Chicago, obviously it's great that they're in the final, but they don't play often enough in the regular season?
No, I'm not, and I think the league's going to make sure we don't see that again, where next year you're going to play everybody. And I think that's something the fans want to see for sure.
Chicago Blackhawks will win tonight because?
Big start. I think you're going to have to really be careful at these type of buildings. Like we saw the other night what happened to Boston in the beginning of the game, and even in the whole first period. Tuukka Rask, I'm not sure about a half a dozen chances. But I look at that game and I said to myself at the end of the first period, 1-0's not enough. You know, you play as well as they did. And I would say they'd have to be very, very aware of the start of this game. Don't try to make sure the first 10 minutes, because they'll come with a big push, Boston. Now,
Scotty, you know, when you're playing a big, powerful team like the Bruins, and the Blackhawks, such a fast team with great skill, do you envision a Stahlberg with his speed coming back into the lineup and using that speed? I understand he's not a physical guy, but that speed he has is pretty dynamic.
Yeah, I think, Doug, also the defense corps got to really be thinking that this puck's got to get out of our end.
Yeah, which has been their strength all year.
Yeah, they got to get it out as quick as they can. Yeah. I wouldn't look for a lot of plays, because you got a good forechecking team in Boston, and I don't know if they'll be matching up as much. I don't know Claude Julien. I know he matches up. It's easy to match up defensemen.
Yeah.
There's only two of them, yeah. And, you know, Chara's going to probably be at the right beside the bench. It's an easy match.
Tough to get to the U.S. Open when you're in a Stanley Cup final and they're coinciding,
yeah,
the
one I remember the most was Tiger in 2000 at Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
When he won by 15 shots. And,
were you with his group at all?
I was the last group.
Were you?
That
wow.
That was the biggest game that I ever scored. And
now, would you have any interaction with him, being Scotty Bowman and Tiger
no,
Woods?
No, I met him before, and as a quick story. After the you walk within 10 yards of the tee box, doesn't look at anybody. I never looked at him, but he never looked at anybody. I'd met him the year before at a dinner in New York. And then when it was over, there was a lady that was also scoring with me, and she wanted to get the scorecard signed. And we went in the trailer after the game was over. It was a bit, I think it was a delay for television. And it was about 10 minutes went by. Ernie Els was sitting in front of the lady, and I was sitting behind Tiger. And she took out her program and with a copy of it, the score sheet, give it to Ernie. She wanted to get it signed because Steve Williams had come in before. He didn't know any of us. He said, by the way, Tiger won't be signing anything. He told us that. So she was crestfallen, and she took her scorecard, give it to Ernie. Ernie give it over to Tiger. Tiger turned around and looked at me and saw my name tag. He said, Scotty, what are you doing here? No, true story. And I said, well, I was the alternate scorer. Now, he played 18 holes, and I was within 10 yards.
He never saw you.
No. The only person he ever talked to was Steve Williams, his caddy. Wow.
Just a quick, I know we have to rush. Just a quick focus. Congratulations to a great friend of Scotty's, Harry Neal, on his induction.
Yes. I think I called Harry, and, he always has a quirk about him, and he said, he said, I was wondering what was going to happen, but no, he was, he's really thrilled.
Oh, good for Harry.
Broadcaster Ring of the Hall
of Fame.
It sounds like
congratulations to Harry.
Sounds like a great book. Ernie Els, Tiger Woods, and Scotty Bowman just
and Harry Neal.
And Harry Neal.